Don't sweat the technique. Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
No blankers today. Joe George in for blankers. They're having a clearance on Jordan Garrett Academy. Blankers couldn't miss that. 713-780-ESPN. Is there one thing that can happen to the Astros that gives you 100% confidence that they make the playoffs?
I think you trade for a very good starting pitcher. To me, like, that is, I think it's the one thing they need the most. I really do. I get why the offense is terrible right now, but I believe long term, the offense has a better chance of figuring it out than JP France does of continuing to be good, of Jose Urquidy getting back and healthy and being good. And look, they showed you what they thought of Jose Urquidy last year. He had one appearance in the postseason.
Yeah, I think it's a little unfair, though. Like, you also had a rotation of Justin Verlander, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Lance McCullers, and you even had Hunter Brown pitching out of the bullpen.
And in an 18-inning playoff game, the only guy that didn't pitch was Jose Urquidy.
Right, but who should he have pitched over?
Like, I mean, Luis Garcia was great in that game.
I forgot about Luis Garcia. Yeah. Like, that's, like, it's not... The fact that Jose Urquidy was buried in the bullpen in the playoffs, I don't think is a testament to they think poorly of Jose Urquidy. I think it's they thought higher of Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, Lance McCullers, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier,
totally
Justin
true.
Verlander, Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly, all of those guys. Like, and they're right. Jose Urquidy is not elevated above any of those guys, but is he better than the average fifth starter in Major League Baseball? I would argue yes.
Yeah, that
is he
I
better
totally
than
agree.
Blanco? Is he better than Belak? I would argue yes. I think there's a fair conversation to have about France and Urquidy. I've really liked what I've seen with JP France.
I would just like to, to me, it's just, I guess maybe it's not too early because he's been really consistent. Like, it feels like you can go into next season with JP France in your plans for next year and you should be okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not a starter, but right now my gut tells me that it is a Marcus Stroman, a maybe even like a Blake Snell, Lucas Giolito, like someone like that really helps this team the most. Just because even though, you know, there's this conversation happening on the Twitch right now about how the offense kind of struggled last year, and it did, and the pitching carried them. I think this team can do that again this year, like where the offense can give you enough, the talent is there, that pitching always wins.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a pitcher.
Ocho says the offense won't figure it out if the lineups keep changing daily. That can't be overstated. I don't necessarily believe that. You look at like the AJ Hinch Astros that won the World Series in 2017, even the one that got to it in 19. They had like 140 unique batting orders. I don't necessarily subscribe to that. A lot of people do. A lot of people are pointing to the Jeremy Peña hits this in the 2 spot, this in the 6 spot, 7 spot, 8 spot. I would say that's more important based on where Yordan was after Peña than Peña hitting in the 2 spot. Bregman seems like he hits better in the 4 spot than anywhere else. Some people swear by that. I don't necessarily swear by that. Like, if Yordan was batting second and Peña was batting first, does Peña have the same success as he did hitting second in front of Yordan? I think so. I think he would.
I tend to agree. My issue with lineups is always just I don't like how Corey Jolks gets priority and just mathematically gets more at-bats than everyone else, and Kyle Tucker's lower in the order sometimes. Like,
yeah.
It's things like that that over a long season I don't fundamentally agree with. And part of the reason why, you know, I think Dusty was doing some experimenting here of if Michael Brantley doesn't come back and if they don't add a bat, what does the lineup look like with Mauricio Dubon as your leadoff hitter permanently and Altuve in the two hole?
How does he play permanently, though? Like, how does Dubon,
left.
If you had to, okay, so you're not playing Chaz or Jake?
I think Jake Myers has done enough to be the everyday center fielder.
So now you're not playing Chaz, who has one of your 4 best OPSs on this team.
Like,
the answer is Maldonado doesn't play. That way you can catch Yiner and it opens up the DH spot.
Yeah, that's very true. But that's just not reality. I wish it was.
You're probably right.
If you want your way, you need Dana Brown to go full Moneyball.
You're right.
Like, he has to trade Martin Maldonado at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, if Dana Brown, like, wants Yiner Diaz to play every single day, They have to get rid of Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, you can't put him in the lineup. Why? Because I traded him. What is the one thing that has to happen for you to have a 100% confidence the Astros make the playoffs? 713-780-3776. For me, it's simple. It doesn't even need to require a trade. If you tell me that I get Yordan Alvarez back on July 14th, which is reasonable, even if you tell me July 21st.
He was
stretching with the relievers. Yordan rule number 19. You stretch only with relievers. You stay away from the position players because they might poison you some way, somehow. July 14th. If Yordan's back July 14th, even July 21st, I don't care. But whenever I get Yordan Alvarez back, I know I have him for the rest of the season. He does not get hurt. He's in my third spot, fourth spot, however Dusty wants to use him, probably third. Yordan Alvarez, when he comes back, somewhere late July, mid-July, if I get a healthy Yordan Alvarez for the rest of the season, I am 100% certain that the Astros make the playoffs. That's all I need. I don't even need a trade. You tell me that. Yordan's back, and he's back 100% for the rest of the year. Huge if, because he's an injury-prone big fella. I think that I'm 100% confident the Astros make the playoffs.
I agree.
Give me Yordan Alvarez back. Honestly, make sure he's – now, it's hard to – here's the other thing to this conversation. If you want to go full circle to a conversation we were having in spring – Yordan should do nothing but DH. And I know everybody's going to text right now, 713-780-3776. You idiot! He got hurt swinging in the cages, swinging batting practice. He's injury prone. He got shelved for 6 weeks because he's swinging in the cages. He got hospitalized because he smelled smoke in Atlanta. He's got mysterious hand injuries that we don't know if they're ever going to be fixed. The dude is injury prone.
Yes.
We are currently and I hate that we're feeling this because it kind of proves my point, but it almost needed to happen to prove the point. We see how bad this offense is without Yordan Alvarez. We know what it feels like to go, it looks like, 4 to 6 weeks without Yordan Alvarez in this lineup. The worst thing that can happen, and look, I just told you, the one thing that you give me with 100% certainty Astros are making the playoffs is a healthy Yordan Alvarez for the rest of the year. How can you better increase the chances of him not getting hurt? He never plays the field. He gets hurt randomly with weird stuff. Stop creating more opportunity for him to get hurt.
But then how does Yonier Diaz play?
Well, if he's going to catch. I'm making the decisions. Dusty's not making the decisions. Yordan's my DH. Yiner's my catcher.
Yeah.
So I have a good offense instead of being below average in all of baseball. This team has the pieces to be a better than average offensive team. You got Yordan, one of the best sluggers in baseball, needs to come back, needs to be healthy. And if because he needs to be healthy, because you can't live without him, he needs to be the DH. Yiner Diaz is one of your best offensive players. You want to get some of the other bats in the lineup so you catch him. You still have Altuve. You still have Tucker. Bregman's going to do okay. You hope Abreu gets okay. Like, this offense can be above average. You just have to do the right thing.
Yeah, and you need Alvarez to come back. Because I agree. That is, like, the one thing where it's – is it more controllable to acquire someone or just get Yordan Alvarez back healthy? What's more realistic?
More realistic. I mean, Yordan's going to come back. But if you're telling me Yordan healthy for the rest of the year, I think it's more realistic a trade.
Yeah, because it's most likely he will miss another week at some point. It doesn't mean he'll be hurt up for a long time. But if Alvarez comes back, this team will be totally fine and get into the playoffs. I 110%
if he's healthy. But if you increase the opportunities of risk, better chance he gets hurt.
And that's why adding a left fielder to me has always been the easiest solution to your problems. Because if you acquire someone that can play left and first, you can. If you want to give Abreu the day off, if you need to just play him less, that's fine. But also, it's just – it's protection. Because the biggest thing for if the Astros are going to make the playoffs and if they're going to make another deep run this year is if Alvarez comes back healthy and if Michael Brantley contributes to this team at all.
I don't even think you need Brantley. Brantley's like a way out of bonus. Yeah, because, I mean, if you get Brantley back to Brantley, then you might not even have to make a trade.
What's interesting about the Brantley conversation, too, is that originally when they were talking about him coming back, they said at first he would only be a DH. And now that kind of changed when she started playing in Sugarland.
Yeah.
But that would really complicate
I don't remember
things.
That.
They said when he first came, but this was...
The Astros said that? Because, I mean, they had him in a first baseman. Like,
I think I'm, but I think getting my timelines confused. I think this was potentially when he was going to be ready for opening day.
Oh, okay.
He was going to be like a primary DH. So maybe I'm getting my timelines messed up because he was supposed to be ready for opening day.
Yeah.
He just hasn't played yet.
Yeah. It's his guide shoulder. It's fine.
Maybe it's opening day 2024.
The guy that had a shoulder surgery that ruined his career. 6609, you're unhealthy for the remainder of the season. Ship Trash Myers and whoever for Bieber at the deadline. I like how he calls Jake Myers trash, but then he's his main piece to get Shane Bieber. Like, which way is it? Is he a commodity to where another team's going to trade one of the best starting pitchers in the trade market, or is he Trash Myers?
That's what
he can't be. Trash Myers and the best piece to get you Bieber. He can't be both of those things at the same time.
That is what I feel like we've been dealing with for the last 3 years with Lance McCullers. Is trade Lance McCullers for what?
Yeah.
Like, Forrest Whitley level player who's always injured. Like these guys, you can't call someone trash and be like, yeah, trade him for your best player.
Right.
Trade Jake Myers and Jose Abreu for Shohei Ohtani. Done.
I think Jake's an everyday center fielder in baseball. I really agree. Now, if I had to pick between, if you gun to my head, you get Brantley, Yordan back, and they're, you know, controlling center or left, I would play Chaz over Jake at center. I would.
Really?
Yeah, Chaz is just too good of a hitter. Chaz is a better hitter than Jake. Like, you're dropping off significantly whenever you leave Chaz out of the lineup for Jake. Now, I'm finding ways to play Jake. Like, he's probably playing with every Javier start because Javier's a flyball pitcher. I want my better defensive outfielders when Javier's on the mound. He's a late-inning substitution every game. If I have a lead in the seventh or eighth, he's coming in center. I'm moving Jake to left or taking – or, I'm sorry, Chaz. Moving Chaz to left. If I had to pick an everyday guy in center field and those are my two options – Chaz is just too good of a hitter over compared to Jake. It's the same conversation at catcher.
Yeah. So, well, I don't think it's that. It's not that.
It might not be a big a gap.
Because I think I would have an argument for Jake Myers.
Chaz McCormick's like a good defensive center fielder.
I don't think there's an argument for Marcy Maldonado because of his hitting.
Fair. It's not as big a gap.
Yeah.
It's not as big a gap.
No, there is. Your offense is probably better with Chaz McCormick in the lineup. I think Jake has shown you enough that this year, improvement to get back to where he was when he first came up in 2021 or whatever that was, that he could be your everyday center fielder and you're totally good with it.
Yeah. I'm fine with either guy in center field. I really am. Could I use an upgrade in left? Would love that.
It's one of my biggest beefs with Dusty is that they don't play a lot together. Like, they don't play a ton of center field and left field.
This goes back to the three-man outfield rotation. And I love Corey Jolks. You're wearing a Go Los Cougs shirt. Go Cougs. I don't think Jolks belongs in the same conversation as Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers. I think Jolks is a fourth or fifth outfielder. I don't think he should be playing equal amount as Chaz and Jake.
Early on in the season, it felt like he had earned that playing time. It's kind of gone away. It's just you can be there to catch Kelvin Sampson's opening pitch.
Go Cougs.
Fourth guy, I think it's very fair.
He belongs in the big league roster, but he does not need to be getting the same amount of starts as Chaz and Jake.
No.
Especially when a team's struggling.
Corey Jolks has proven that he belongs in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
100%. Like, he is a guy that, and for a lot of teams, he would start. Like, there are a lot of bad teams in baseball where Corey Jolks would, like, they might look at him and say, this guy could give us meaningful, like, at-bats and innings played in the field for the next year or two while we find the next guy. But he's always going to be the guy to get the next guy or a fourth outfielder.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What is the Texans' best duo? You can get creative with this. It has to be on the same side of the ball, and they have to complement each other in some way. What is the Texans' best duo? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com Sports Scooby Snacks.
This sure is a creepy place.
Yeah.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
No Blankers today. He's actually here, but he's on the phone in the bullpen. Killer Bees, Joe George filling in for Blankers. 713-780-3776. What's the best duo for the Texans? They have to complement each other. It's got to be on the same side of the football. You can get creative with it. But what do you think is the best Houston Texan duo?
Tunsil Howard.
Okay. That is creative.
I think that's the best duo.
In the trenches.
To me, they are I'm a very big fan of Titus Howard. I don't know if they're going to pay him long term, just because it's you just paid your left tackle a ton, and I know people have their concerns, and rightfully so, about what is Laremy Tunsil going to look like now that you just paid him, because it seems like he plays his best football when he's chasing a contract, not after he's gotten that contract.
Yep.
But if he does play the way he did last year, and Titus Howard continues to improve, you've got really talented players at left and right tackle. So I would say that's their best duo.
I like that one, because it depends on what you think of Titus Howard, because some people are fans of Howard, sounds like you are, and others aren't. Others are kind of think he's a mediocre right tackle. I like Titus Howard as well, so I'm good with that duo. Rare Candy says the best duo is when Mills hands the ball off to Pierce. Are we expecting Mills to hand the ball off to Pierce?
In training camp.
CBS Sports had the best duo for every team in the NFL. Their best duo for the Houston Texans was the running back tandem of Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary.
That's a good answer.
I like that duo, too. I think that duo has the possibility of being a really good tandem that complements each other. Because Pierce, you expect to be your between-the-tackles guy. Really curious to see what he looks like and what we're expecting to be a San Francisco-style offense. And then I think Singletary's better than people think. He was Buffalo's best running back last year, and he's good catching the ball out of the backfield. So he's like a souped-up version of Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, I think that's a really good answer, because if the Texans are going to win games next year, I think a lot of it's going to come down to those two guys. Like, how they control the clock, how they run the ball, how much they just make life easier for C.J. Stroud. So it's probably the right answer, because they've invested in that position. Like, while not with big money, they've attacked it well. Damian Pierce was really good last year, and Singletary has shown flashes where, like, it didn't really work in Buffalo, but I don't really get why.
Like, I don't think it didn't not work. Like, he was pretty effective. I think it was more the way that they, you know, called plays.
More.
Like, they threw the ball a ton. Yeah, more. Like, he should have had more. Like, he had over 1,000 yards in offense last year.
Yeah.
He ran for 819, caught for 280. He had over 1,000 yards the year before, and he's 26 years old. Like, we're doing Cash It or Trash It next. Maybe I should save this. Cash It or Trash It. Devin Singletary has more total yards than Damian Pierce. I think it's going to be somewhat close.
That'll be.
Sean's over there shaking his head. No, maybe it's a bad chicken sandwich he's eating.
No,
I think Singletary's going to be close. I really do.
I'm thinking that you just said he's only 26. In running back years, he might as well be 46.
Yeah,
this is old. It's Joel Blank in running back years.
Blank years. But whenever you sign free agent running backs, they're in their 30s. They're not 26. Yeah. So it's a good point. Like, yeah, that's anxious for a running back.
He is like 10 years younger than Rex Burkhead.
Right.
So that's nice.
Like, look at free agent running backs this offseason. Most of them haven't signed. Ezekiel Elliott.
Leonard
Fournette. Dalvin Cook just got released. Kareem Hunt. Like, these dudes are in their 30s. The Texans signed Devin Singletary wisely early. Mm-hmm. 26-year-old free agent running back that has had over 1,000 total yards in the last 2 years. That'd be one of the best things Nick Caserio's ever done.
I would say, if you could get plus money on those odds, I would guess a little bit.
Yeah, I would need plus. If I were to make that bet, I would need probably plus 300.
Yeah, but I could see them being very close. Like, 1,600 to 1,800 yards between the two of them.
Yeah.
That's probably a low number, actually.
Part of this take, too, is I think that the style that Damian Pierce runs at, I think he's going to miss three games. Three or four games. So, like, part of this is injury-related. Damian Pierce's style, I expect him to miss three or four games. Devin Singletary's style, I expect him to be healthy for the body of work. I do think if Singletary finishes with more total yards than Damian Pierce, I think Damian Pierce has to miss at minimum three games.
I'm trying to think
but
if
it's part of the bet.
If there's any other combos or duos on the Texans that I would put in this category.
Here's a couple on the text line, and Pena's on the call board as well. We'll get to that in a second. 5535, the H13, best duo, C.J. Stroud to Tank Dell, the H-Town connection. I think someday that could be. I don't put a whole lot of stock in either one rookie years.
Can I give you how much special teams did Tank Dell play at U of H?
Last year he played a lot.
Okay, because I was thinking of him as a punt returner.
Yeah, he was a great punt returner.
And then him and special teams coach Frank Ross.
That's outside the box.
When he said get creative with it, I wanted to get really creative.
John Weeks and Kyrie Fairbairn.
Yeah.
That's not a bad connection.
Big duo.
Cameron Johnston. Wasn't he a Pro Bowler last year? Cameron Johnston.
Was he their only Pro Bowler last year?
I think he might have been.
That's really
That's the
sad.
Guy who looks like Bill Burr, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is.
He's a good punter. He looks like he never – it doesn't look like he has great range of motion on his leg, though. It always looks like it's kind of like shot, put, punt, if that makes any sense. 713-780-3776. Best duos for the Texans. Have to play the same side of the ball and have to complement each other. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Pena, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Jeremy, and something was going on. So my duo would be D'Amico Hines and Derek Stingley. Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Who was the second person he said?
Stingley.
D'Amico Hines and Stingley.
Thanks, Payne, yeah.
Stingley's going to be interesting with the D'Amico system. Like, I am fascinated to see. That's why I'm so excited about the Texans this year is, like, the storylines. What does the run game look like? If D'Amico is in, or if Damian Pierce is in a San Francisco like offensive system, can break out. I'm bullish on Singletary.
It would be
Stroud
really
in
nice.
His rookie year. Like, there's so many storylines. Stroud in his rookie year. Which receiver steps up? Can Mechie be the guy? Can Tank Dell be the guy defensively? Does Stingley take? I don't want to call it a sauce like jump because I think that's unrealistic. But there's so many different storylines.
It would be good if the answer to this question would be Petrie and Stingley.
See, mine was actually Petrie and Jimmy Ward.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because both are safeties. I think they're going to complement each other. I think that a lot of Petrie's weaknesses can be cleaned up and that a veteran like Jimmy Ward's going to help that. So, like, my outside-the-box duo tandem was Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie. From a long-term, what benefits the Houston Texans more than anything, and let's eliminate C.J. Stroud here because C.J. Stroud would be the immediate answer.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud and blank is the right answer.
That would be, like, the best long-term duo for this organization. Stingley Petrie, probably a close second, maybe more than any defensive player. I say that, but I'm also like trying to pair Will Anderson with somebody as I say that.
Well, could you, Degenerate Gambler just said Christian Harris and Will Anderson?
Okay.
How
do they complement each other, though?
Could you say Will Anderson and Derek Stingley? Because they
will. Yeah, you could.
Because they will complement. If Will Anderson's getting pressure, it's going to make Stingley's life easier. If Stingley has lockdown coverage, it's going to make Will Anderson's life easier.
Yeah.
Like that would be ideal. I mean, plus that's the third pick in a row, 2 years in a row.
I think that those do complement each other. I think they do, they are synonymous because, like you said, you get to the quarterback quicker, less time to cover. You cover longer, more time for a pass rusher to get to the quarterback. I like that one. That's a good one. And they're your two most, like, how am I trying to say it? They're your two highest draft picks that you have on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Because Will Anderson probably has more invested in him than Stingley, Stingley was the third pick, Will Anderson was the third pick, but Will Anderson was the most latest, and Stingley had a disappointing rookie year. So I would say that Will Anderson's like the most important defensive piece, but I would argue those are the two most important defensive pieces. So if you can find a way to duo those guys, to tandem those guys, I think that's a good answer.
Cal McNair and Ribs.
Cal McNair and Ribs?
Best Texans duo.
I mean, those cookouts that he's doing at minicamp, yeah. I mean, Cool Cat Cal at it again.
J.J. Watt and the Texans PR department.
Ooh,
that's pretty good
that's
tandem.
That's good. That's probably the best one.
They're working the hardest.
They really are.
They are. It's the most like buzz, too, for the Houston Texans. It was J.J. Watt coming home. Ring of honor. 7293 said Cal McNair and C.J. Stroud on Madden 2024. See, Cal McNair is going to have C.J. Stroud playing to a rookie of the year level. Yeah. On Madden 24.
If they go
franchise
head-to-head,
mode, maybe they win a Super Bowl.
They go head-to-head, though. I'm Stroud, like, minus 300.
Playing Madden?
Yeah. Against Cal.
You think so? Cal is a noted video game player. We don't know this about Stroud, but he is younger.
But, he's also young and plays quarterback, so I imagine he knows he can read coverages in Madden.
Once upon a time at a previous radio station, I think, Jeremy, we might have been together when this story came out. I don't remember when did the video game story come out?
Oh, man. I don't know.
No, I don't think we were together. But I did like a deep dive on what were the best video games.
Yeah, I think we were.
Referencing, like the number one video game was Guitar Hero.
Oh.
Like, so was Cal McNair sitting on his floor just like shredding on Guitar Hero?
Would it surprise you?
No, actually, when I saw that, I was like, this makes sense.
I can see it.
Would it surprise you?
I think that was your Rock Band, the first Rock Band came out, too. So it was like Guitar Hero 2 and Rock Band 1. It's so like Cal McNair with the fake drums, just like smash, like going to town.
7535 says, best Texans combo, upper management and disappointing seasons. Can you say that's the best Texans combo?
nitpicking a little bit. Texans combo.
Maybe the most likely Texans combo. I don't know if it's best. 713-780-ESPN. What's the best Texans combo? 713-780-3776. Also, when we return, cash it or trash it. What are we selling to you? What hot takes? What overreactions do we have that we're going to cash or trash? You can get in on this, too. 713-780-3776. Send in your cash it or trash it. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out for that foot bone.
I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the jaw with my foot bone.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are not only welcome, they're celebrated.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay.
It's Cash 'em or Trash 'em with the Killer Bees.
This is your hot take.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Joe George in for Blankers today. Blankers had to eat his birthday cake all by himself yesterday, so he's a little bloated. Couldn't make it in today. Hope that he's well, though. Hope he's back tomorrow. Cash 'em or Trash 'em. What are yours? 713-780-3776. What do you want us to cash or trash? Joe, why don't you lead us off, though? Age before beauty.
That means you go first.
Am I older than you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think beauty is the trump card here, so why don't you lead it off?
I'm 31, so you're definitely older than me.
All right, I'll lead it off. That's fine with me. All right, if I'm Buffalo, I'm trading Stephon Diggs. I can't have my second-best offensive player that's a non-quarterback have the keys of the organization. He wants play calling. He wants the ball more. He was fourth in the NFL in targets last season. You invest in your quarterback. Look what the Chiefs did with Pat Mahomes. They traded Tyreek Hill so they could build up the rest of that team. If you have a star quarterback, you don't invest huge money into the wide receiver one on your football team, especially when he wants input on the play calling. You got to get out of Stephon Diggs while you can.
Did you see the report from today that part of the reason why he's upset is because they didn't sign Hopkins?
Yes, because he like restructured his deal and they didn't sign Hopkins, who is still a free agent nonetheless.
Yes, I'm going to cash that. I think
trade him.
I would totally trade Stephon Diggs. It's not that he's not a great player.
He's a great player.
He is, but you can move him for another wide receiver for future draft capital. And Josh Allen should be good enough to be good without him. Like, I don't think they need Diggs.
They shouldn't. They have Josh Allen. You don't need great receivers whenever you're a great quarterback. You need good receivers that fit your scheme.
Yeah, Gabe Davis, Dalton Kincaid. Like, they've got guys that are good enough. So, yeah, I'm in for that.
You
I
know,
have no problem with them trading Stephon Diggs.
The last time Stephon Diggs was traded, the other team won the trade. The Vikings traded away Diggs. The Vikings won the trade.
Yeah, the Bills just need to trade Diggs and then draft
Justin Jefferson.
Top three receiver in
absolutely.
The league.
Absolutely.
And he's a top three receiver in the league immediately.
So they have to wait till ASAP. Just wait till next year.
Trade him.
And then get Marvin Harrison Jr.
You probably do need to wait. You do need to wait.
Yeah, try to get 1 year out of him. Like, try to
make this work this year.
Deal with it
trade
this
him.
Year and then,
get him out of here. All right, what do you got, Georgie?
Justin Herbert and the Chargers are going to miss the playoffs this year still. I just don't. I see it. I see it. But I'm just going to go with a new philosophy in life.
Okay.
Until they make the playoffs, I'm out on the Chargers and the Padres.
I thought you were going to say everybody.
I'm out.
There's no new teams in playoffs.
I'm done. I'm done with the Chargers and the Padres. I picked the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl last year. They barely made the playoffs. They blew a 20-point lead in the second half against the Jags. I picked the Padres to go to the World Series to lose to the Astros this year. They stink. So I'm done with the Padres. I'm done with the Chargers. There's some kind of curse from San Diego. Yes, I know they're in L.A. now. It doesn't matter. So I'm out.
Who's jumping them, though? Like, if we – they were a playoff team last year. Buffalo, Miami. Okay. So the Browns are jumping. I'm going to
– You think they're going to have a great offense this year.
That isn't translated to winning, though.
Good point.
I'm going to cash this.
Ooh.
I don't like Staley. I don't like Brandon Staley.
I'm gonna
cash this. I think they're gonna have like a 9-8 season. I think that they will be a top five offense, but they'll miss the playoff. I'm gonna cash this. What do you got, Sean Mapes?
I'm gonna trash it.
Trash. Okay.
There you go.
Just because I'm a Justin Herbert honk, I do think
he's had a great year.
I do think that I forgot that Staley's still their coach.
Don't like Brandon Staley.
I thought they were going to fire him.
I thought he was. In my head, he was fired in the middle of the third quarter of their playoff game.
That's where
year.
Sean Payton was going to go.
Yeah, and so yeah, now he's definitely not going to. He's going to definitely get fired this year, right?
If they miss the playoffs.
My issue with Brandon Staley is that he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know his own identity.
I think he lives the gimmick.
His first year, he was going for all these two-point conversions and fourth downs, and then he stopped. And then he starts again, and he stops again. Like, he doesn't know who he wants to be as a head coach. He doesn't know if he wants to be completely reckless or totally safe. And he does it a lot of times. He does it at the wrong time.
Yeah, he kind of got idiot. High on his own supply of like, I'm thinking outside the box. And then when things started to go wrong, it's like he was too reactionary to like the outside noise.
But he was too outside the box. Like, he was outside the box because he wanted people to think he was outside the box instead of being outside the box when you're like right.
But I rather the numbers tell you. I'd rather you just stay outside the box than try to be like, again, to now there's no rhyme or reason to any of these decisions. It's just kind of like what he feels like. People won't talk about on Twitter. Whatever won't get him tweeted at.
Yeah. I feel like he got ESPN bullied. Like, I feel like he got bullied by like Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky saying he's making the wrong decision.
I believe it. I can believe that. I mean, bullying's not good. Bullying's bad.
Your season can't end the way it did 2 years ago with the whole weird tie thing.
Yeah.
And then the next year you blow a 20-something point lead in the playoffs. Like, that, you just can't do that.
It's what they lost to the Raiders two years ago in the last week of the season and missed where the playoffs.
It looked like they were trying to, like, play for the tie so they both get in, and then the Raiders were like, bleep y'all.
We're going
to
win.
I forgot about that. What
got out-coached by Rich Bisaccia. You know what? Actually, after
you're going to cash it now?
Yeah.
They're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah. After thinking about Staley for more than 25 seconds, they're going to miss the playoffs because they're not winning their division. So you're saying, are they going to get a wild card?
Yeah, I think my answer is no.
Yeah, so we're trashing that. What do you got, Sean? You have a cash and we're trashing?
Yeah, Dame Lillard's loyalty to Portland, it's officially now, like, it's stupid. Like, you're being dumb now to still be this loyal. Or maybe not dumb.
No, dumb's fine.
It is. You're shooting yourself in the foot by making this noise about, well, no, I want them to trade the third overall pick. And now it's all, there's a whole bunch of leaks happening where Dame is leaking to the media that he's perfectly fine staying loyal to Portland if they trade the third pick for a star, a Pascal Siakam, a current NBA player. And then you have Portland being like, listen, we're trying to make these trades. We're asking Miami about Bam Adebayo for the third pick, and they won't do it. It's like, of course Miami's not going to trade Bam Adebayo for the third pick because their whole plan is to team up Dame with Adebayo and Butler. And so there's this whole like awkward marriage going on that I feel like it's inevitable that Portland just takes Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, and then trade Damian Lillard. But the PR battle necessitates all these leaks about how hard they're trying to make this work. They need a divorce.
I'm going to cash that. I think Damian Lillard is just, he's just so scared to be the bad guy.
Yeah, he's scared to be the bad guy.
It's okay to say that Portland sucks and you want out.
Yeah, you're not like, LeBron and Kevin Durant already took all these arrows for switching teams. And also, spoiler alert, Damian Lillard, you're not LeBron and you're not KD.
KD's on his fourth team?
Yeah.
Damian Lillard's about to be on his second team. I think he gets traded.
Dame?
I
think it's best for the Blazers to trade him. I think it was the best for the Blazers last year to trade him.
It might have been 3 years ago the best to trade Dame Lillard. Like when they traded McCollum.
I'm gonna trash this.
Really?
Play devil's advocate here.
Trash.
Some players want legacy. Some players want finances. You stay with one team.
He's secured that.
But you stay with one team for your entire career, you make more money. Right?
True.
Because they have your rights. You make more. Yeah. The max whenever you stay with a team is more than a max when you sign as a free agent. He's going to be revered in Portland forever.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Forever. This is a legacy.
All
move.
Those first round playoff wins.
They're
going to,
but they
man.
Are. They shouldn't revere him as much as they will, but they will.
The one Western Conference Finals that they made and they got swept.
Legacy. Legacy matters here.
I don't think his legacy changes if he gets traded.
If he left and he demanded a trade, Yeah, I don't think he would be slightly less beloved in Portland?
Their most beloved player is a broken-down Brandon Roy right now.
Do we love Verlander as much in Houston?
But he didn't get drafted by it. He's not. It's Correa. Yeah.
Do we love Correa as much in the city as we did prior to him leaving?
No, less.
But less. I still think when
they
he retires, I still think when he retires, he'll still be at Astros games.
Yeah, probably.
He'll still be welcome back.
Probably.
I don't know, but the retired numbers thing, that's a whole nother debate of which Astro gets their number retired, but he's in that conversation.
I'm not a big fan of retirement numbers.
The thing with Dame is...
one to avoid the conversation.
Dame Lillard's been... Dame was there for 10 years. I mean, it would be his 11th. He's drafted in 2012.
Yeah, and if you actually... Dame Lillard, if you actually want to win an NBA championship, you need to walk into an office and say, I want to get traded. Like... 25 other NBA players before you have. Like, this is just a thing that
legacy.
You do.
Yeah, you can just do what James Harden did. Just demand a trade and then go back.
Yeah.
Is there nothing to staying with one team for the entirety of your career anymore?
No,
is that
there
not
is.
Cool?
There is if
is that,
you're
not,
Steph
not
Curry.
Cool to do anymore?
No, it's cool.
You
got to
win
also,
a title for it to be respectable?
The team, when you are a player of Dame Lillard's caliber,
yeah.
There's an obligation by the team to provide a roster around you that necessitates your loyalty or that earns your loyalty. Portland has not earned his loyalty.
Here's another cash of attraction for you that relates to this. If you leave a team that you've been with forever and you win a championship, especially if it's like a super team, LeBron, Miami, Kevin Durant, Golden State, it shouldn't count as a full ring. It shouldn't count as a full championship. Like, we're going to look back at Kevin Durant's career and be like, oh, yeah, full. He's got a ring. He's got a title. I don't think he should get a full championship ring, full title, in the career of Kevin Durant based on how he did it. Like, it should be weighted. Like, if Damian Lillard won an NBA championship this year, not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's a full title. That's a full ring. Best player on the best team of a team that drafted him, that kept him around forever, that he was loyal to, as opposed to a dude that bolts to go to a super team and then wins a title, debatable whether he was the best player or not. That shouldn't be a full championship ring. That should not be graded the same as a Damian Lillard Portland championship.
Man, if intern Mitchell was here today, he might be in tears because you just ruined LeBron's career.
He did it multiple times. All of his titles came that way.
LeBron's
he jumped
done.
To Miami title, jumped to Cleveland title, jumped to L.A. title.
Yeah.
Like, how many rings does he have?
Four.
Based on my scale, he should have like 2¾.
You're saying Dwayne Wade's a better player than LeBron.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, he said he's won more titles than LeBron.
Devin Booker.
No, you said if it's a half title, then LeBron.
I didn't say quite half. I didn't say my way. But it's not a full title. Kevin Durant doesn't get a full title.
Okay, so
LeBron going to Miami doesn't get a full title.
Does Dwayne Wade get a full title?
Yeah, he was there.
From Miami?
Yes, absolutely. He was part of the recruitment process.
So, Jeremy, if the Suns win a championship this year, Bradley Beal, less than a full title.
Oh, absolutely.
Kevin Durant, less than a
full title. Absolutely.
Devin Booker, full title.
Yeah, and DeAndre Ayton. Get full titles.
DeAndre Ayton.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were the core. They were the foundation. I disagree. I think he's going to be there.
Well, they're not winning a title.
Washington asked for him, and they said no.
Because they knew they could make the trade for the corpse of Chris Paul.
Right, but do you think DeAndre Ayton is a Sun next year or not?
No.
You don't think so?
Either.
Really?
Okay. By the time the playoffs
start. I think
that's a different conversation.
I think they need role players.
I mean, when they win the championship next year,
right.
he won't be at the parade.
I mean, going into the year with them.
I guess I'll throw another one here. It's not going to work. Bradley Beal and Devin Booker makes no sense to me. Like, you have three players, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. Their strengths are the same.
Yeah,
of the most efficient mid-range players in the NBA.
They can space enough,
though. Is Bradley Beal going to be their point guard?
No, they probably need a point. They probably need a
point. And then they need someone to guard wings,
They
too.
Probably need a defensive-minded point that can defend the perimeter and not always the point guard.
Yeah.
They probably need that big time.
They need,
time.
Like, souped-up Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it can work because they can shoot. Like, you can at least space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can space the floor.
I think they're a better version of the team we saw in the – of, like, a very flawed team that we saw in the playoffs, where their hope is that they can – like, they took two games off of Denver, which is the most that anyone took off of Denver this playoff run.
Yeah.
But it took absolutely, like, fireworks shows from both Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, like, combining for 80 points to, like – win a game.
You think they're better now, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're better,
too.
But they're flawed in the same exact ways, but they're just amplified.
See, the problem with trading Ayton, though, is that if you're building that team to be a champion, you're thinking about Jokic.
That is true.
So, yeah, like,
I don't think Ayton, like, he doesn't solve that problem.
Yeah, maybe you go full the other way and you're saying, we just spread it out and we just try to...
You just get him to defend the perimeter.
Yeah,
you almost go small.
And it's going to... Because it's going to be an offensive... The way that they win is an offensive game against the Nuggets anyway, so might as well go full tilt.
If I could trade Ayton for, like, a stretch four who can, like, be a small ball five and then, like, a lockdown point guard defender that can shoot, doesn't even need to score. Yeah, I'm doing that.
That's most of it, is just turning one good player, DeAndre Ayton, into, like, two... Like, lesser
they
good,
need role
but
players.
Still playoff caliber players.
And build your, like, the way you're going to play.
Yeah.
KJ Martin.
I don't want Ayton. You want Ayton in Houston?
I think he would help with Şengün's flaws.
Let's carry this to the other side. Do you want Ayton in Houston? 713-780-3776. And also a Rockets name game that Joe George has planned for us. We'll see how it goes. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing I love to tell you about, so Gentle Ben, you know that. I like a good drink at the end of the day. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of that rotation for me. And Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anyone else. How do they do it? Their revolutionary Prosecco technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or the cast strength bourbon, and compare it to what you drink, you'll never go back. I've been a Gentle Ben man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor with none of the burn, smooth, clean. It eliminates that burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store on your way home today. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar. Or just head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. Also, find the Gentle Ben bar at Minute Maid. Head to an Astros game, get some bourbon with your baseball. Head over to GentleBen.com to learn more about your new favorite spirits. Gentle Ben, period.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
Don't forget, driver and car have to be equally good to win, so do your best job.
I'll do the best job of driving I can.
Razor Blunt Commentary, delivered with a special purpose.
What's happening to my special purpose?
It's the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
No blankers today. Health is his wealth, and he's investing in himself. Do you want DeAndre Ayton with the Rockets?
I think it
would
make a lot of sense.
Be interested. I'm not a fan of it. Like, if you're committed to Şengün and Jabari, like, you're adding 30 minutes at the center position, and now Şengün and Jabari are the two biggest negative benefactors of that.
Look, I believe Alperen Şengün's best role on this team is coming off the bench.
Oof. So you're not hot. You don't think he has a high ceiling then?
Stay
off Twitter with that opinion.
Yeah, you'll get run out of the city.
People don't like me for that. My Alperen Şengün thing. Like, just when they're good enough to make and other reasons. That's a good point.
What are the other reasons? I want to know more about this.
I don't know, man.
Listen to the bullpen on Sunday. It's not.
Do you get ridiculed?
Somebody
got you? You get got by somebody?
You guys ridicule me all the time.
Well, what happened Sunday, Saturday on the bullpen?
Well, just some shots, you know.
Somebody
did you guys take shots at us?
Is there a rivalry between the Sunday bullpen and the Saturday bullpen? Is this like NWO Hollywood, NWO Wolfpack?
I would like there to be.
We can create one.
I'd be open to it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can I trade for you first before we start getting into a fight?
I'm a big rivalry guy. I like rivalries.
Did I just try to trade Andrew Carlson?
Yeah.
That might start the rivalry right now.
It kind of comes full circle to another rivalry that exists on the station, though.
Oh, it's true.
So.
It's true. No, I just, people don't like my takes.
I can see why.
Yeah, this Alperen Şengün one.
So go on with your Alperen Şengün take here. It's bad.
When it comes time for the Rockets to be competitive in the playoffs, I feel like they're going to have to take him off the floor. There are too many big men in the NBA that in the playoffs, when it comes time, like, their defense isn't. Look, even Rudy Gobert is brutal in the playoffs. Like, as good as a defender he is, DeAndre Ayton's kind of the same thing. Like, he's not, you know, he's never going to guard like the best big guy. But when you play small, if they go small, like, Şengün's a liability.
Yeah, he is a defensive liability.
It's nothing to his offense. Like, offensively, that's why I think his best role on this team is as coming off the bench against, like, as a sixth man. Let him focus on offense. Defense isn't as important in that moment. I just think it's a better fit for him, honestly.
Here, I don't think you're awfully wrong, to be honest.
Thanks.
But I'm not ready to make that call yet. I want to see a year of Udoka before I'm ready to make that line of demarcation with Alpi Şengün.
It is hard because this team has been poorly coached for 3 years now. And Şengün, to me, has had him and Jalen Green are the two guys that have gotten no coaching in terms of defense, where Silas was just letting them do whatever they want. He would occasionally challenge them. Look, this is an organization that was hiding suspensions from the media because, like, they didn't want to embarrass KPJ. Like, it's just, that's a fact. And yeah. Şengün, like, they just didn't coach him in the way he wants. So I hope you're right.
Yeah, that's why I can't.
I hope Udoka is able to turn this thing around and get him on a path to where, like, even Jokic isn't, like, the most athletic defender.
You got to be able to hide him. This is really the key. You got to be able to hide him enough defensively where he doesn't kill you nightly.
And you worry about going small, like other teams going small against you. The Denver Nuggets, I'm not, again, people have gone way out of hand with, look at Jokic. This is what Şengün's going to be. No, probably not. He's probably going to be a worse version of that. But there is still the point of teams didn't go small against the Nuggets because on offense, Jokic can make them pay.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to hope for and develop Şengün to. And to Jeremy's point also, like, I'm not too worried about how the playoffs are going to handle the playoff defense for the Rockets in 2023 and 2024. I'm not worried about that.
To build off of that too, like if Şengün, if you're worried about what teams are doing to you whenever they go small and you have Şengün on the floor, is Ayton the recipe to fix that?
Exactly.
He's not. So that's not the counter move. Like if the counter move is, the counter move is something entirely different. It's probably Jabari at the five.
Yeah, Jabari at the five is the like small ball, like unlocked, like that. It's a question of having enough wings to actually make that work because that's the thing with going small. It's like, well, you actually need good small players too.
And I think that they have that.
Yeah, they have a
KJ,
shot
at, Eason, if you draft them in, like, I think that they have that.
Jalen, you can put a lineup out there that at least has the bones to develop into that five out, like, crazy lineup to where that's the adjustment they make in game three of a playoff series.
See, that's kind of where I'm at with the Rockets right now. In the NBA draft on Thursday, Rockets, of course, hold that fourth pick. I'm at the point where I don't want to make huge decisions in year one of Ime Udoka.
But that's what's weird is, and that's kind of what the Rockets name game is like, I'm going to give you guys some names. You tell me how it makes you feel about the Rockets. Because I think they're going to add, don't you?
Add to this team?
Like, they
literally add in a way that like they're going to try to win at. Like maybe even if it's not James Harden, because reports are that like the Rockets might have just been a tool to get him to get back to Philly now. But like it feels like that's still their path that they're heading down.
They literally have to.
Yeah, they literally have money they have to spend.
Yeah.
So they will bring in vet, and they're also a roster that
needs it.
Yeah, look at last year's roster. They need someone who's over 25.
They need someone that can buy alcohol.
They need and also could play basketball. That would also be nice if they're good at basketball and like 27. That's all. That's what they need.
Name game us.
Kristaps Porzingis.
No,
I'm out.
Didn't he
really?
Didn't he do some naughty things one time? Allegedly.
It's the NBA.
Yeah, allegedly, but
allegedly.
Even before that,
NBA's
like
a good point.
He helps on the offensive end being a spacing five, and so that will just give more room to operate for the other guys, especially if they're going to draft Amen Thompson.
Is he a backup though?
No,
I don't want him getting minutes over Jabari and Şengün
because he like had low key a really good year in Washington.
I don't want minutes.
Also, the only year he's been healthy
Şengün
the last like 5
That's
years.
That's a good point.
So you're kind of buying at the highest.
Probably out on good call.
Zach LaVine.
No thanks.
Is he playing point?
I think he'd probably play three positions for you,
What's his situation with the contract?
He just got paid.
Probably out on that.
Just got paid, and the Bulls are looking to get off of him.
Yeah, probably out on that. I'm somewhat intrigued with any point guard, though, because this team needs a point guard, and I want to upgrade from Kevin Porter Jr. So you can almost sell me on any point guard in the NBA.
He's got very James Harden habits, I would say.
So he's going to lead the league in assists at some point?
Not that.
No.
No, not that? No. Oh, okay. Not the good things that Harden brings you.
I feel like Jalen Green like develops and like a modest upside is Zach LaVine.
I agree.
Like Zach LaVine is like future Jalen Green.
How many more do you have of these?
One more.
Okay, who is it?
Chris Middleton.
It depends on the contract. I don't hate Chris Middleton. Now, I'm not expecting him to average 25 a game. He needs to be more of a role player and a complimentary piece. I would love his shooting. I would love his shooting, but I hesitate to sign Middleton more than like a 2-year deal, which I think he's going to garner more than a 2-year deal.
I agree.
Yeah, he's 31, so yeah, you don't. And he also just came off, actually, the opposite of Kristaps Porzingis, came off his most injured year in recent years. And yeah, I wouldn't want to give long money to him, mm-hmm. but yeah, short money. He's a good pro.
It could be the opposite of Porzingis, though. Like, if you can buy him low, that'd be outstanding.
Yeah,
because his shooting will play with what they're going
to
do.
But also, if you're trying to make a push, I'm not even saying make a playoff push, make a play-in push, uh-huh. make a push to the play-in. Are we sure that Chris Middleton is like the best player on a team that finishes ninth in the West, which is a ridiculous thing to say.
I don't think the Rockets should have that in their mind.
I think it is in their mind, though.
I think that their number one like game plan and philosophy should be, we're still thinking big picture. We're still thinking about our ceiling and our potential. I don't think that we're trying to get into a playoff game next year should creep into their mindset at all.
To me, it's more he's kind of a like the some aspects of bringing in Chris Middleton is like a poor man's version of James Harden, where it's he's going to age out of being a really good player, the best player on your team, like as you're ready to win. And so having that bump up against each other, and he's also probably not as good as James Harden is right now. I know we don't like James Harden. He's not as good as James Harden is right now.
Is he a veteran in the locker room? I don't know. Is Chris Middleton is he good at that? Is Chris Middleton a good veteran? I have no idea. If he is, it might make it more interesting.
I haven't heard anything bad about it.
I haven't either. So maybe yes. 713-780-ESPN. Do you have a Rocket? Do you have a Rocket name game you want to play? 713-780-3776. A couple of Twitchers mentioning a couple of names. Also, Justin Verlander is the greatest starting pitcher in Houston Astros history. Argue me. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The only sports radio on FM in Houston.